All right, so let's get it together. I don't know to what level that really is resounding in your heart, or whether you have an understanding of that, or if you even have a faith in Christ. I'm not sure. But this morning you have an opportunity to look at one life that was lived and how his life was impacted by the presence of God, God's presence with him. So we're looking at Joseph, but as we introduce Joseph, I just can't help but follow again along our announcement that we made. It seems appropriate. This gift of over $2 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And as I said, it represents, I was just about to touch your piano. Don't touch it. She does not want me to touch the piano, so if you see me go near it, you might just want to yell at me or something. At any rate, it represents a lot. And I know that I gave this sort of illustration of maybe like we're wandering through the desert as they were going from church to church, building to building. But you know what? This is not the promised land, although it may feel like it sometimes because we're here and we're enjoying our worship with God. But this just continues a journey. As we look at Joseph's story in a moment, you know, he represented a very unique moment in history. Because as we know, if you've read Genesis, prior to his breakthrough, his cycle-breaking life, right? If you want to talk about chains breaking, right, that we sang earlier in the service, this was the chains being broken. This was an example of Christ breaking cycles and something good coming out of a really pathetic mess. Because these guys that God had called, these people that God had called, were just floundering, and they were longing to have God's presence. They were demanding God's presence, and they needed God's presence, and God blessed them with his presence. In spite of who they were, and in spite of the mess that they were, and the terrible choices that they made relationally, and in so many ways, organizationally, they made choices that were just disgusting. So if you want to take some time to read through a soap opera, read through Genesis, and look at the stories and get sick. And then think about what we're like and what we've been through, and you'll start to get it. See, we're just joining on a journey. Pipeline came to join us, and I can still remember the moments, because when I started at this church, that actually signified the time I started as well. I can remember it so well. My dad was the preaching pastor for Pipeline at the time. He just happened to be the one at that time, and somehow we came together. And I literally said, I don't know if I said it to you, Patty, I think I did, but I think we should go to this Victoria Alliance, which was VPAC, Victoria Pacific Rim Alliance, and be a part of this, because I know both congregations a little bit. That was my justification. And let's go there, and so I can spend time with my dad. And I tell you, I think, is Helen? Yeah, Helen, was it the first service that I came here, that I was downstairs with my children, and you said, would you like to be a children's pastor? It was something, it was so close to that. It was something like that. And then, you know, literally, like just weeks later, I'm actually a pastor here, part-time working with children. And it's just a journey. It is a journey. And we continue on that journey. And God is gracious. And if we can get our eyes off of the prize, and I know that sounds terrible because we actually are supposed to look forward to something, but I believe, and I'll say this before I pray, there are three things that can take us away from enjoying the journey of Christ with us, because he is with us. And I believe one is just simply, we've got our eyes on the prize too much. That's all we see is the end product. And we're not ready to go through the journey. The other thing is a failure. We're going along trying to attain what we think God has called us to, and we fail. And we're distracted, and we can't move on. And the third one, I think, is just a little less obvious sometimes, and a little insidious. It kind of slips in, and that's our culture and our religiosity, how we live. And so we miss the opportunity to see what God wants to do through us in the moment, because we're caught up in what we feel we're expected to do, rather than the reality of what God has called us to do. That's a pretty exciting part of it. So I ask that God would move us, that God would move us to see what he wants and not be distracted by what's happened. Whether it has anything to do with the announcement this morning, or if it has anything to do with this church, or how we run church, or any of that. But that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit. I share one more thing and then I'll pray. Sorry, I'll try not to go long because we're going to celebrate communion as well. But this morning I traveled again. And I did get up early. Patty woke me up in time to be up early. So I got in my car and I just couldn't help it. I had to go to Esquimalt. So I drove over to Esquimalt and God again gave me a moment and he moved me. So I got there and I'm representing you every time I go. That's what I'm doing in Christ. I go there and I am representing our church because they're our church plant. And we want to support them in any way we can and pray for them in any way we can. So I drove up there and I walked in the place and I sat down and finished my sermon. Yeah, it's ready now. Okay, so that's good. Thanks, God. And then I prayed over their sanctuary, which is just a chairs like ours. Walked through them and prayed. I'm walking out and they had blocked me in. They backed in their trailer and they blocked my car in. I said, what are you doing? You blocked my car. So, anyhow, we had a big discussion there. And here they are. I don't know if you've ever seen the routine that they do, but they back the big trailer in with their truck and they wheel in all this stuff. Like Braun one's there and Sam, one of their sound guys and the guys that works there, and Paul. And they're back in and they're wheeling this stuff in. So I got to wheel one of them in. So I'm wheeling this stuff in like the ark, right? Putting the ark in there. And we get it in there and I'm watching what they do and how they set it all up. And then we just gather around one of the things that we rolled in. They're big, right? They're big things. And they contain everything that they need for a service. Every weekend. For how many years have they been doing this? Every weekend. And for how many years have they served there? Right? Serve God. Just serve that community. That's their goal. Serve, serve, serve. The process is huge. As I sat there just leaning on this box, just because, I cry a lot, so I'm just, my tears are coming down, just thinking, wow. And Paul said, can you pray for us? I said, yeah, let's pray. So I'm praying, and we're asking God to work in that church, and then he's asking God to work in our church. And I'm telling you, it's a journey, and we have to enjoy the moments as we roll the boxes in. We have to enjoy the moments as we get up early for a first service because we're part of the journey that God's taken us on. And he wants to bless us. He longs to bless us. But the journey is not always easy because he's got a lot of stuff he has to deal with in our hearts and in our lives. Let him do it. Let him take you through it. We can trust him. And that was really what these patriarchs were struggling with. They couldn't trust God to take care of them as they went through these dangerous lands. We wouldn't either, I'm sure of that. But they did discover a God that would take care of them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning and for your word and what it means to us. And I just pray as we open up your word that you would just open up our eyes. God, help us enjoy the journey we're on, no matter what it is, where we are, how bad it is or how good it is, you can be with us. God, with us. And we invite you to do that. I know there's some that may not even know you. So, God, as we look at this, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, who we've invited here, you would speak to us and draw us to you and make something new. God, make something. And be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I left my Bible down here. So excited to get up here. Yes, good morning, right? I'm wearing my red shirt. It is a Joseph day, so I get to wear the red shirt and the multicolors, although I'm multicolors, but anyway, it's my Joseph shirt, so that's why I'm wearing it this morning. Let's read through the passage again, and as we read through it, we're going to take a look at how God did something completely new through Joseph. Don't forget, though, as we read this passage, that just recently Joseph has been turned aside by his brothers. His brothers hate him, and they threw him in a pit. They wanted to kill him. They didn't kill him. God protected him, because God had another plan, right? God has another plan, by the way. Yeah. And it's not the one that Satan has. It's not the one that the devil has. It's not the one that people have around you. It's God's plan. So he got thrown in the pit, but he was going to take care of him. And he brought along the Ishmaelites or the, what's the other name they call them? Midianites, yeah. Those two guys. And by the way, interesting enough, the Ishmaelites and the Midianites are actually descendants of Abraham. They had the same great-grandfather. So little great-grandchildren. I mean, sure, they're mixed with other cultures and whatnot still at this point because it's hundreds of years later. At any rate, it's one big family. Just like our families, right? A little bit messy. So anyhow, they were thrown in the pit. They pulled them out, and they sold them to these guys, and they took them to Egypt. Interesting, again, the Ishmaelites were born by Tamar, I believe, who was an Egyptian, and here they are taking. It's just, the story's so fun that as you dig into the history and you look at it. Wow, it's so tight, so small, and yet God is using them. They take them into Egypt. And here's how it goes from there. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, not just your average guy. He's from the court. He's got a super high position in Pharaoh's court. And this is who Joseph is going to get sold to. Perchance, maybe? I don't think so. Obviously, God's leading. What does God want to do in your life? What's his plan? Let yourself go in the journey. And don't get all worried about when you're in the pit. He's got a plan. He's going to work it out. It may not be like Joseph's. He may not raise you up to the top. I mean, don't get your eyes blinded by some big goal that he has. But enjoy him as he walks with you. And so Joseph is there, and he comes in. He didn't even do it on his own. He basically was taken by his brothers. His brothers were, God was using them to bring about his plan. So he was the captain of the guard, and he was brought there by the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Keep that in mind as we go through. Thanks for bringing it up, Pastor Kyla. Awesome. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, it was something that was visible, something he was able to see, then, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. So Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household, and he entrusted him to his care everything he owned. That, I mean, in a sentence, in just a couple of sentences, it can't barely cover the journey. So we're all thinking, that's awesome. You know, this is great. This is what living in Christ is about, right? Rising up to Potiphar. Like, what's he going to do for me? Don't you think that? What's he going to do for me? Well, okay. Joseph did get blessed in that way. That's how God chose to do it, because God had a work he was going to do through Joseph that was going to take care of a whole nation. But don't forget the journey. It was not as great as it all looks. Didn't Joseph get his shirt basically ripped off him? His family taken away from him and thrown in a pit? I wonder what he thought when he went through that. I wonder what he was thinking when he got sold to these Ishmaelites and Midianites, and he's traveling and these bandits are taking him through this country basically to sell him to make some money. What's he thinking about that? Where was his heart then? How was he going through that? And what would have happened if he didn't get that? And by the way, what was happening with all the others in this journey? Because he's not the only one who was trying to find God and walking with God. There are many others, and their hearts were broken. They were torn apart. They were falling apart. They were beating themselves up for what they did, and yet they were also relieved. There was a mixture of feelings. The journey's not pretty. It's not pretty. So verse 5 it says, from that time on he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned. The Lord blessed his household of the Egyptians because of Joseph, and the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. God can work through us in other people's lives when they don't even know it. And he's drawing them into a relationship with him. I've spoken to some of you sometimes about some of the journeys you're on and the way you're sharing things with friends. You're sharing Christ with your friends, or you're just being good friends and you're taking time with them. And then you look at it all and you say, well, where's this all going? Nothing is happening. Well, let me remind you that something is happening, that God is very active. And this is why we're gathered together, really, to encourage one another and to remember that and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to say, no, I am working. Don't believe the lies. I am drawing people before you. Let's continue to pray for our friends. Let's continue to do what God has called us to do. Let's stay in the journey. And I didn't introduce my theme, but along the way, he will transform. He will make new us and the people around us. And we're not going to be able to control how that's going to happen or what it's going to look like. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, I got the feeling that maybe Potiphar's house was not like Joseph's house. And I'm not talking about money, wealth, servants, or all that kind of stuff, but not like it. It was unique. It didn't seek after one God. But there are other ways where it was very much like Joseph's house. It was messy. And it was all about me or us, and not necessarily about God. And the gods were just to provide for them, not really to someone to be worshipped. And so I think that in the house you would see the same types of sins, but in different ways in Potiphar's house. So as we continue to read, we'll discover that now, the mess of Potiphar's house. Verse 6. So Potiphar left everything in his control, and now Joseph was well-balanced. So here we get into the soap opera-ish type of thing again, where we have a really great-looking star in the show, and it just happens to be Joseph. And Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." He was successful, right? God had blessed him. A lot of things were going his way, and so he was looked up to, and that attracts a lot of people. And certainly did Potiphar's wife as well, who, by all accounts, seems to be left by her husband a fair amount and seems to be on her own with many thoughts in her mind. You have to picture this house because Joseph is in charge of everything, but underneath that there's many servants, many people around that can be used as pawns, and most likely were used as pawns, and in many different ways, whether it be for sexual favors or for receiving things that they just needed, they wanted on demand, they would ask for it. So it's probably not that uncommon for a guy like Joseph in this household to be approached by somebody, and particularly even by Potiphar's wife. But he refused, it says in verse 8. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. And so the mess is there, just like the same mess we have. I can't identify what your mess looks like. I can't just say it because I'm not God. But we can surmise, we can guess, we can assume that we all have been through similar things, possibly. Whether it be in a sexual way or be with a desire for something more than we have. And we've basically sold our soul to get that. What I really like about this story, it's so encouraging, is that Joseph was able to say no. And not only to say no, but actually to say that I can't even be near you. I'm not even going to be near you. For me, that's encouraging to this generation. Because as we know, there is access to all sorts of sexual content, whether it be online or in our city, just going out, in any city for that matter, or when we take time on our own and no one's around us, through movies or through TV, through Netflix, through whatever. And they're all different levels, and we've all justified different parts of it. But what I want you to do is to allow God to search your heart, search my heart, and help us to be free of those things that bind us, that keep us back from experiencing the truth that God has for us. Joseph knew that his master respected who he was and what he did, and as a result, he felt obligated to him. But he also was willing to say that, "For my God, I choose not to do this." And that's another level of commitment, another level of even strength to say that. And so what I see here is that God is able to walk us through some of the greatest temptations we might have and help us to come through it clean. I'm not saying that we won't give in and we won't fail, but couldn't that be a distraction on our journey, right? As I said, the failure can be so hard. And then how do we pick up the pieces? Whether it has to do with being involved in an affair, or watching pornography, or stealing from our company, or if it's just simply, taking advantage of people And we justify that all the time. Or treating them poorly. We justify that all the time. That's not as bad as these other things. And as we hear stories come out through our politicians and through different segments of our society, we're discovering more and more people have been hurt. They've been taken advantage of. We realize that this is such an important thing and that we require a God who can make a difference. We also require a God who actually has standards that we can live by. So rather than trying to figure out what you can and can't do, why don't you ask God to, in your heart, show you what level of commitment you need to have to Him as you walk through life in order to make a difference. See, along the journey, we're going to be faced with so many things. And we may have our minds just set on the final part, but God wants to transform us and make us new along the journey. And don't you think this was part of Joseph's journey? It definitely was. He saw some messy stuff in his own family in regards to this, and now he was able to take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to do this. That is building in his life. And we need some of that building as well. We need to take a stand. We need to say no. We need to walk in faith with the God who can help us walk through those types of situations. Because on our own, we tend to fall. And by the way, also, God will provide us with people. People who will walk with us and give us the ability to together go through these things. In verse 11 it says, one day he went into the house, and here's where it all happens if you know the story, and to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. I guess that's unusual. So no one's there, it's just him and Potiphar's wife. And she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak and in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants and said, look, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and he ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him the story. The Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard this story of his wife, he told that his wife had told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. So, if we could think back a little bit, it wasn't that long ago that Joseph had a cloak torn off him, right? Do you remember with his brothers? His brothers were really upset with him, and this cloak that he was wearing, this multicolored long sleeve, long cloak, designed for royalty, was torn off him in their anger and their jealousy. And they didn't want him to be the only one that was loved. They all wanted to be loved, and they just wanted to kill him as a result. And so they took it off. It represented something. It represented his father's love for him. And now, here he is in Potiphar's house. Once again, he's been given a cloak. A cloak of some sort that, again, shows royalty. God again raised him up and gave him an opportunity to be lifted up. But the cloak is torn away again. And as he runs away, again, he doesn't have it. And you would think, well, boy, that's got to be so hard. Because he had these dreams. Remember, Joseph also had dreams that said one day everybody would bow down before him. He's going to be this guy. So he could have easily been blinded by that dream and saying, well, where is God now? Right? Where is God now? It's not working the way I planned. This Potiphar's house was great. Maybe this is exactly what God had in mind. But it wasn't. And the cloak got ripped away. And here he's running again. And he doesn't know what's going to happen next. But he pretty much assumed that it's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. So the cloak was taken away twice. So actually the cloak wasn't really the goal, was it? It wasn't this prestige, this royalty. The goal was to draw closer to God and to fulfill the plan that he had for Joseph. And what's that going to look like? Well, he doesn't even know yet. But he's on the journey. And on the journey, God's transforming him and making him new. And we're on the journey. I don't know what part of that journey you're on, whether you're feeling kicked right now or whether you're feeling lifted up. But God will walk with you. And if you are starting to rest on the victories that you have, that will be pulled away. So that God will help you discover who it's really about. It's not about you, not about all that you've attained. It's about God. And so the story goes on, and I'll read it quickly, and then we'll move on to our communion here. But it says, when the master heard the story his wife was telling him, as we know, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison in a place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He didn't need the cloak with him. He didn't need the fancy shirt. What he needed was God, right? And so the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all, those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. Joseph gave him, the Lord was with Joseph, and he gave him success in whatever he did. God wants to give us success in whatever we do. He does. He wants to grant us his favor. He wants to walk with us. What that looks like may be different for each of us. But understand, even when Joseph was put in this prison, the reason he was put in this particular prison with all these other officials that are going to be part of King's court, the king's court, is because he was bought by Potiphar in God's plan. God was in control of it all along. So the question is, do we trust God to be in control of our journey all along? And where are we going to end up? Well, it's not about the cloaks. It's not about becoming the best in the kingdom as he eventually becomes the second best. It's not about that. It's about God being with us. You see it throughout his story. But the Lord was with us. The Lord was with him, and he granted him favor. The Lord was with him, and he granted him favor. God is with us. And along the journey, we're going to have to go through whatever it is we built up in our lives that stopped us. And I'll say one more thing, and then we're going to pray. But on this journey, he was in a foreign land, in a place that didn't believe in the God that he did, and yet they were very attracted to him because of his God. In this foreign land, he could have been judgmental, could have been hard on them, and he could have decided, I'm not going to associate with them. Because I talked about the fact that we can be held back by our keeping our eyes on the prize and just wanting the goal. We can be held back by falling, our failure, but we can also be held back by our religiosity. And I think that in this society, in this kingdom, where we are called to serve and to be God's example, we are challenged to do what? In the Old Testament said it. It says he is required. What is he required of us to?
Love justly.
Love justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly. There's the keys. In the New Testament, it says to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love one another. And I just want to tell you that God is positioning us for something in this society, to do something in a society that really needs our love, that needs Christ's love. And it's going to look in so many different ways. And we tend to turn away from the very things that God has called us to. We're going to discover that there will be a lot of people dealing with anxiety. There'll be a lot of people dealing with mental illness. There'll be many people dealing with struggling with who they are in their gender. There will be people struggling with who they choose to be with in sex. And as we come face to face with that, we are on our journey that God has taken us on. Do not allow your religiosity or your feeling of expectation to preach and to pound on the table what God has said, but rather let's go in mercy. Let's love justice, right? And let's walk humbly. Let's love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And let's walk like Jesus did, seeing those in the marginal and on the side and embracing them, not always knowing where it's going to end or where it's going to go, but trusting that God is with us on the journey. We are positioned. And we're going to go forward. And we're going to share what Christ has with us in a world that is broken and needs to be brought back together. Let God's favor flow out of us and bring his favor onto this place, this Oak Bay, Sandwich, Victoria. Let him do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you journey with Joseph, and you show him through his family and through his time with Pharaoh and with Potiphar, how you can be with him, and you can give him, you can walk with him through it all. You can show your favor on him. And you can work mightily through him. We're all on journeys, God, and we're at different places, and some of it's kind of dark. But in the midst of it, we know that you can be with us. So we ask that you would do that. Allow us to be your people in this generation, in this place, to move out for you, and not to be afraid, to just go through the pitfalls, go through the ups and the downs, but to discover that we have a God who can work. God, work through us. We give ourselves to you to work through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask.